Hello, and thank you for joining us for Life Without Limits, Planning with the PA Family Network. I'm Courtney Miles, and today I'm joined by Shu Halegra. Shu oversees the Philadelphia Family Supports Project at Vision for Equality. She is a licensed diversity, equity, and inclusion trainer with more than a decade of experience in the IDA field. Shu, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about wellness. And when we talk about this, what do we mean by it? What do we mean by wellness? And how does it make us more resilient?
Yeah, I think often when people hear the word wellness, they think about working out physically, right? It's the gym,
Yeah.
it's lifting weights. That's only part of it, right? I see wellness as this kind of overhaul things that we do, practices that we engage in order to be well in all areas of life. So physically, emotionally, socially, financially, spiritually, and even in our vocations and just intellectually, like learning new things, doing things that we love, that so that we feel well at all levels.
So it sounds like it encapsulates so much. Does it look a little bit different for each person, or is it like you have to have an expensive gym membership and do all these specific things?
No, the funny thing, the joke around our family is that we had fancy memberships and we actually never used it. So it's good to have a gym membership if you use it, if you go there, that you enjoy going to the gym, that's good. But for many of us, that might not be it. Well, that might just be part of it, what we call wellness. So one with everything I think that we do in order to live a life without limit, right, we have to be very person-centered. What works for me might not work for someone else. And we might be in the same family. Like you have kids who love to jump and run. No, I'm in a chair, and most of the time the physical activity that I get is stretching and doing my physical therapy. Right. So just even acknowledging that each one of us have our own limits and our own interests, and then basing our wellness on those things that we actually enjoy. It could be for some, maybe it's walking. For others, it's reading a book. It's, being at the pool. I can be in the pool and actually enjoy that. That's probably one thing I do for physical activity, maybe not as often, but something that, that I can do. So it's looking at, what do I like to do? How, when can I do it? And can I sustain it in a sense where if in order to be resilient and to actually maintain that oneness, you need to be able to do it over time. Right. So, and that will look different for everyone. Talking to friends is also part of wellness, right? Taking
So
a
as
nap.
a, yeah, absolutely. So as a stressed caregiver, looking at this from their perspective, thinking about all they have in their day, and I just don't have time for wellness. How can they create wellness in their life?
Yeah, I think it starts with first changing our mindset about wellness, right? I'm a caregiver, both professionally and personally, in my own life here at home. And if we always wait for the time where we're quote unquote stressed out to engage in wellness, that kind of helps with the crisis, but it doesn't help with the prevention, right? We might take care of what's happening here and now, but how do I take care of myself in a way that I don't find myself in that stressed out mode so often or for so long? Right. So making it a way of life makes it easier. And I know as caregivers, we often don't have the time to do it alone. Right. Then it's both a challenge and also an opportunity to then invite a loved one to be part of it. In our house, when we say we're going to go to the park, even if I didn't want to go, even people who don't know how to read time in my house, like say, will know when it's time to go to the park. Right. And my point is, when you invite others to be part of it, your loved ones, it actually build the accountability. Then it becomes a family affair instead of me thinking, oh, I have to make time to do this. I can't find the time because everybody needs me. There's therapy, there's appointments, there's medical stuff we need to attend to at home, and the cleaning, the cooking, all of those things. But if I look at it as, oh, all of us can engage in wellness together, it makes a big difference. My kids love swimming. We used to live close to a state park, Pincher Park. And so they used to love going there to swim during the summer. I love, 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 love looking at the sunset and sunrises. That's part of my wellness. And so what we did to make it work for everyone, we'll go to Pincher Park around like 6 p.m. where like sometimes we'll bring our dinner there and have a picnic dinner. And then the boys will play in the water and actually get to watch the sunset in the summer. So it was a win-win for everyone. They got what they wanted. I got what I wanted, right? So sometimes as caregivers, it's being creative and, finding ways to make it work for everyone so that you're taking care of yourself while you're taking care of others.
I love that. And Gifford, they have beautiful sunsets there. It's pretty local to where I am. I love it out there. So I know you just talked a little bit about kind of joining efforts and making wellness work for everybody, but as a person living with a disability, how can they create wellness in their life? Would it look a little bit differently?
And I think just back to the idea of being person-centered, right? Finding what works for you. And maybe just starting with picking one thing. What is one thing that I enjoy that can help me with physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, intellectually, anything that kind of help you be your best self? Pick one thing and then just start. Because sometimes I think we spend so much time, and especially in our quote unquote disability field, we spend a lot of time planning and then there's not enough doing, right? We have plans for every little thing in life, but then we don't always plan for our wellness. So maybe it's, finding that one thing that I can do. Maybe I want to go play ball with friends, maybe, and I can get on with the whole bowling thing. I know in a disability field, again, in the community, there's bowling is becomes a thing, but not everybody likes to go bowling. I don't, right? Maybe I want to go play basketball. Maybe someone wants to go play basketball. Maybe someone just wants to go at the park and sit and look, watch the ducks per se, or watch the water. So find that one thing that you enjoy doing and then make a decision to make it a priority. And I know, for many of us, all of us need support. I'm the first one to admit I need support just every day just to make it through the day. So from sometime I can have good plans for myself, things that I want to do. I can't always do it by myself. I need someone else to help me with it. So once you have picked that one thing and you decide that, yes, this is the thing I'm going to do, I want to do it, ask yourself, who can help me with it? Maybe they can help with transportation. Maybe they can help with emotional support. There's things I want to do that are kind of hard, and I need someone to be there and cheer me on, right? And maybe there's things that I do, I'm like, oh, I don't have the money for this. Where can we find, we can find support, financial support on our integrated STAR here, right? Maybe it's a program that can pay for it. Maybe, it's a scholarship we can apply for. But, finding who can help him with it so you can make it reality.
Use all your resources, right?
Exactly.
So, in terms of how, if people are a little overwhelmed, to try this again. So, when people are a little overwhelmed, just getting started is the best thing to do is just start. Find something you want to do and do it. Is that what you would say?
Yes, I agree. And I think when often we get overwhelmed because we try to do too much at once. I'm all about, thinking, dreaming big and planning big, and sky's the limit. That is good, but also has to be realistic, right? It has to be tangible in the way that is this something that I can actually carry through with support of, for most of us. So it's good to have a good big plan and have big goals for yourself, then try to break it down to small goals. If I want to learn how to, maybe traveling is something that you enjoy doing for your well-being, seeing new places and, enjoying new cultures and things like that is something that you enjoy. Like, oh, that makes me feel good. It fills my emotional cup and I feel happy when I do it. That's great. Then maybe I never done that before. I never went too far from home. Maybe I'll just start going the next block, right? Or the street, next street over, and maybe I do it with, support person. Maybe I do it with a friend. And then after I master that, like, now move forward, like, oh, next time I'm actually maybe going to learn to take the bus and go to, downtown. And after I master that, maybe now I went downtown, I'm going to try the train. It might be a little scary. Maybe if it's support me, I can do the train and go to the next town over. You see what I mean? So it's good to have big goals, but then break me down to smaller goals so that goals, that way it's more manageable. You're not so overwhelmed.
So with all of this information, if people wanted to keep learning, to keep educating themselves and keep making wellness a way of life, what would you recommend they do? Are there resources that they can look into or
Yeah, I think with one, you just creating that plan first for yourself, right? That helps you then figure out what resources you need. So if I identify what I want to do, what I would like to try, and then find out who can help me with, I'll say start partnering with those people first. Well, if it's something that, a program can pay for, maybe you need to talk to your support coordinator so they can add it to your plan and then you can get funding for it. Maybe it's something that a friend can help with. Maybe it's connecting to that friend and asking them for support. But also, like we said earlier, don't be afraid to use your resources, right? Maybe there's something that I want to do, someone already is doing it. I would say tap into that person, right? Reach out to them, ask them how they've done it, what has helped them, so that you're learning from them as well. And I think, places like your local YMCA, it's a good place if you're looking for, kind of the physical health that part of wellness, but also socially, they have a lot of events that, could be very beneficial for you. your faith community, you know, for if you attend a faith community, finding what activities they have there. There are many, many churches and synagogues now that have like Zumba, you know, as a way for people to come and do, you know, some fitness per se, but also socialize. But I'll say even like I was surprised our local Giant in the grocery store has flyers like on the wall now for different events happening in the community, different both, you know, for physical health, for emotional health, for social health. And so really tapping into those resources in the community that many of them are free, or you may be already paying that membership we talked about earlier. So take
Yeah.
advantage of that, right? But give yourself, I think at the end is, you know, maybe something to take home is to really, you know, anchor on here is give yourself permission to tweak as you go. You know, maybe if we thought the gym was what we needed as a family and then we paid months and months and didn't really go, you know, and like, oh, that's not maybe what that's not working so much. You know, we go back, you know, to kind of reviewing that. We're like, well, maybe it's going to Pinchot Park, going to the creek together, something we can do, going for walks, you know, just down the street is something that can help us. So give yourself permission to tweak. It's not always how you get there. It's, you know, your goal often say be rigid if you want to strong on your goals, what you're trying to achieve, but then be flexible in how you get there. Because as you try new things, you might find what works and what doesn't work. And then you continue to tweak it so that you can, you know, reach your goal of wellness.
I like that. I know that I kind of get stuck in that it needs to be this way, that you forget about the flexibility, but we're all human and we need that.
Yes. The more we live, the more we learn. The more we learn, the more we grow.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Shu. This was wonderful. It's always a pleasure chatting with you, and I think that people will definitely come away with this with a better understanding of wellness and how to incorporate it into their own lives.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for the Life Without Limits podcast, Planning with the PA Family Network. We hope that you'll join us again to hear from more individuals. If you'd like to get in contact with us, we can be reached at 1-844-PA-FAMILY or on the web at visionforequality.org.